Miss Chuvansky, sorry, Miss Wallace, I have lived in New York for 8 years, and all that time I have never seen anybody so incredibly rude. What is your problem?
I'll tell you what the problem is. This is my problem. Just look at me in this stupid, slutty Disney princess dress. I look like... Oh, God! I look like Darcy Parker!
Well, yeah. Didn't she tell you? That was the whole idea.
Chuck? The boss is looking for the Tenneco brief. Are you finished with it? Chuck? I'll come back later, okay? Right. What's wrong with him?
Who? Chuck? He's been like this all week. I think his girlfriend left him.
Oh.
Excuse me, coming through. Here's your paper. Mail. Excuse me, thank you. Coming through.
Feniman to wed. Rachel? Rachel! Rachel. What the hell?
You have no idea how lucky you are.
Yeah, I need the number for the FBI.
Elegant Waste, Chapter 1. The bedroom is dark and silent. Velvet drapes large glass windows and refuses an English sun. Antiques of Art Nouveau stand silently as chairs, dressers, and flowing lampstands. The walls are freckled with paintings and prints kept hostage from museums by the force of money. Head to the north wall is a massive land of oak and linen, a four-poster bed draped in sheets like a sailing ship. A lone figure lies beneath down comforters and doesn't move. Only the faintest of breath betrays the life.
When I was in high school, I read this book called Elegant Waste. Actually, it was the only book I read in school. I stole it from the library. I never listened to the speech on how to check out books. And I read it all the way through. I read it again and again until the cover wore off and I had to tape the pages together. I loved that book because it felt like me. It was me.
What the hell are you supposed to be? My mother would ask.
Elegant waste, I'd reply.
A gentle knock and the door opens. The butler crosses the room and sets a tray of toast and tea down on the table between the windows. Nimble hands tie the drapes to the gold hooks along the window frame, flooding the room with sunlight, before pouring hot tea into a china cup and placing it on the bedside table.
Good morning, sir. Rise and shine.
The body moves, then settles again.
It's funny how you remember things like that. I hadn't thought about elegant waste in years. But waking up in Darcy's apartment overlooking Central Park reminded me. I used to dream about lying around in places like this, sheltered from the uncool.
Sorry to wake you, sir, but today is your interview with that magazine lady person writer. I can't say I approve of her. She is a persistent sort, isn't she?
Never occurred to me that the shelter was inside out.
And again, I suppose we can't all be to the manor born, can we? Ah, good news, sir. Cook has managed to locate the marmalade this morning. Things are looking up, aren't they? Shup, the body slurs from far away. Can't you see I'm sleeping?
I am a prisoner. I can have anything I want as long as it's not freedom or Francine. One last job, Darcy said. She never said what would happen after, because she knew it wouldn't matter.
Well, that needs to stop now, doesn't it? The butler smiles as she bites into a piece of toast.
Elegant Waste was just a stage in my life. I never meant for it to be my life.
Good morning, Rise and Shine. We have a very busy day.
Shut up. Can't you see I'm sleeping?
Sorry, I'll just leave this here. We do have a lot to do, but why don't I... I'll wait until you're... whenever you're ready.
On the other hand, practice makes perfect.
Darcy wasn't kidding.
Brilliant, isn't it? Pulling all these big shots around by the nose. And they just smile and give us the keys to the kingdom.
As if that's something worth having.
I can't figure you out, Katina. You don't seem to be very enthusiastic about all this. Is there something I should know?
There's a lot you should know, Sharon.
Tell me. I'm listening.
It's your life. Are you gonna get that?
Can I help you?
Yeah, I got your pizza here. Mushroom with, I don't know, looks like extra mushrooms. What do you think?
I didn't order a pizza.
Well, somebody did. When the fat man tells me to deliver a mushroom pizza...
Fat man?
Then that's what I gotta do. You wouldn't want to break the fat man's heart, would you?
Fat man.
Sorry. Bye.
Wait! Hey! What about her? Maybe she ordered it. Hey, Blondie, you ordered a mushroom pizza, didn't you?
Yeah, sure. I like pizza for breakfast. Lunch, whatever.
Now there's a girl after my own heart. You know, they say pizza will get you through times without sex better than sex will get you through times without pizza.
I thought that was a Porsche.
Yeah, well, I'm all out of Porsches. Today we got pizza.
Well then, this will just have to do. Pay the man, Sharon.
That'll be $23.43. Cash.
All right. Wait here. Let me find some change.
Hey, no hurry. Take your time.
Smells good. Detective Walsh.
It's the mustache, isn't it?
You've been listening to Episode 13 of Strangers in Paradise, Book 5, Immortal Enemies, by Terry Moore, adapted by Thomas DJ. Produced by Thomas DJ, Chris Honeywell, and Nicole Tomte. Sound design by Chris Honeywell. Vanessa Van Zer was Kachu. Casey Boudinot was Sharon. Chris Tyler was Chuck. Chris Honeywell was Chuck's co-worker. Kira Hendricks was Gossip Babe. Pamela Jean Agalus was Rachel. Sarah Palmero was The Reader. and Tim Price was Detective Walsh. All other parts played by the 8TW Players. Music provided by Jim Moon and the Eldritch Light Orchestra, Shane Ivers, and Chopin. This is a fan work produced with the cooperation of Mr. Moore, done solely out of love for the property. We lay no claim to the rights or characters. Please read the original series and other works by Mr. Moore available through abstractstudiocomics.com. Please contact us at 8twinfo@gmail.com and join the conversation in the 8TW Discord. You can find the invite at 8tw.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening, and good night.